The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man? You good still?
Yeah, man.
All good? You excited about a ketchup chip taste test for you later today?
I am, yeah. Coming up.
Canadian delicacy on the heels of Canadian Thanksgiving.
Thank you to Doug.
Thank you to Doug in Toronto.
We have a Canadian standing by that can weigh in on this as well.
We do as well. Before we get to our buddy Jake Hahn, and still to come this hour, Pete Futak on college football, Mark Borchard on baseball. Can we do this quiz again? Do we want to do the quiz of all the trophies in the, or you'd rather not do
Did
that?
Did you pull this up?
Yeah, I just want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Heart. What is the heart?
Heart is for? MVP.
Heart is for MVP. Well done. Got heart one. Is for MVP. Rocket Richard Trophy. You're not going to get that one.
Coach. Best coach.
Most regular season goals.
Sure. Okay.
Named after, of course, the great Maurice Rocket Richard of the Canadiens.
Absolutely. Yep.
Norris Trophy. You got this earlier.
The best defenseman.
Best defenseman. Calder.
Not scoring defenseman.
That's correct. Calder Trophy.
Calder. It's not the goalie one. I know the goalie
rookie,
one.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie. Yeah, rookie.
Yeah, there you go. Not, yeah. Oh, boy. Someone whisper that to you?
Okay. Move quicker.
Right, you did pretty well on that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
You didn't give me the Vezina. I even know that one.
What's the Vezina?
Top goalkeeper.
You are so good at this. Okay. NHL season begins tonight. Again, a special numbers game investigation reveals Predators at Lightning in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's a minus 160 favorite. Then the Blackhawks and the Penguins in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, a big minus 250 favorite. And Connor Bedard's regular season debut. It's a debut, by the way. Kraken at Golden Knights tonight here in Vegas at T-Mobile. So we had the Raiders yesterday at T-Mobile, and now the Vegas Golden Knights play tonight.
Yeah, seriously, busy a week. That, yeah. They got a golf tournament in town this week,
Raiders,
NASCAR?
The Raiders played Allegiant, not at T-Mobile, of course. Right, Allegiant, right. And then across the street, yeah. At T-Mobile.
I got what you mean.
Yeah. And then the Aces play tomorrow at Michelob Ultra. Yeah. What a wow. Sports town this
what
is.
What a sports town all of a sudden for yeah. A week.
And, of course, our NHL betting guide is out, and we bring in our buddy Jake Hahn to discuss hockey because we like talking hockey with no one more. He's the co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on Sirius XM NHL. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4. That's J-H-A-H-N and the number 4. How you doing, Jake? What's happening?
Oh, it's great to see you guys again. You already had me laughing before you brought me in. I actually thought Kelly did quite good there.
He did.
The game that you played. I like to think that I played a little bit of a hand in that coming on the last couple of years, that he was able to get some of those right. So it's great to see. You mentioned we're coming off of Canadian Thanksgiving here, which is always a great holiday. You guys do it better, though, south of the border with your Thanksgiving, but we try our best. And then we get another holiday today, which is the start of the NHL season. That's basically a Canadian holiday as well. So everybody's happy. Everybody's in a good mood this week.
Yeah, you are super excited. Like, you get super duper excited about a day like this, I would imagine, beyond anything.
I do. And I'm a fan of all sports, Gil. I love NFL football. I love college football, you know, college basketball, NBA, when that gets going. I love playoff baseball as well. You know, the golf calendar is in a bit of a lull right now. So I'll watch anything, but hockey is special to me. And I think the product on the ice right now is as good as it's ever been. When you compare it to the product of other professional sports, like what you see when you turn on a game on the field, on the ice, I think the NHL is in such a great spot in terms of entertainment. And I'm really looking forward to getting it underway tonight. And we got a superstar rookie in Connor Bedard that everybody just can't wait to watch play hockey tonight.
Yeah, I may even tune in for that. How about that? I may even tune in. A little baseball on the side and then a little Connor Bedard. Let me, since we talked about the awards with Kelly, let's start there. Let's start with the Hart Trophy. You have a bet that you like here.
Yeah, and the Hart Trophy, as you guys got this one, is the MVP of the season. So it's not like the Art Ross. The Art Ross would be for most points. You guys mentioned the Rocket Richard, which would be for most goals. Sometimes this can go hand in hand with the Art Ross. If you just smash the league in points like Connor McDavid did last year, you're a runaway. You're the MVP. You're the Art Ross winner. It doesn't always go to the guy with the most points, but more often than not, if you have the most points in the league, you're doing something right and you're going to get some votes here. So look, McDavid is basically minus 105, minus 110. It's pretty much McDavid versus the field at this point. And look, you could place a bet on that if you wanted to. I don't know if I want to wait all season for a minus 110 against Connor McDavid. I'd rather pick a horse and sort of ride with that if I was going to fade him. And I like Nathan MacKinnon. You could still find him at some places, at 10-1. I think he's the one guy that could put up a point total at least close to Connor McDavid. And when you look at what the Avs are facing this year, they do have issues at depth up front. And we saw it exposed in that first round loss to Seattle in the playoffs last year. I think they're really going to have to rely on Nathan MacKinnon. And if he does stay healthy for a full 82-game season, which has been a problem for him in the past, I think he could put up a point total that could rival McDavid. I usually sort of cross Draisaitl off because he's McDavid's teammate and it's hard for him to garner votes. So Nathan McKinnon's my guy this year. And he's a player that's so special, but really hasn't won a lot of individual hardware throughout the course of his career. He's got the Stanley Cup, but he's never really won the big individual awards. And I think maybe this could be the year he breaks out and wins a Hart Trophy.
Kelly, the Hart Trophy, quote, to the player adjudged to be the most valuable to his team, unquote.
Well, there you go. So voters, that's voters, right, Jake? That's what that means? Okay.
That would be voters.
Yeah, and then we get into that conversation about value, right? I'm sure you guys have had this with other awards and other professional sports. Like, what is value? And it becomes a bit of a tricky debate, but sometimes it's just, hey, this player is the best player in the world. And I totally understand why Connor McDavid's basically going off at a pick-em price against the field right now. He is that good. He is that much better than everybody else. But I don't think Nathan MacKinnon is as far away from him as the odds do suggest.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon, again, 10-1, always shop around. That's where Jake got him. What about the Norris Trophy, which we talked about earlier, is for the best defenseman? Where's the value there?
And this one's probably my favorite one. And I've been talking about this all summer on our shows, planting the flag in the ground with Miro Heiskanen of the Dallas Stars for the Norris Trophy, guys. This one's a little bit more interesting. You've probably got about five or six guys that go into the season with a realistic shot to win this award. Cale Makar does deserve to be the favorite. Nathan MacKinnon's teammate there in Colorado. I totally understand why he is where he is on the odds board. But when I look at the rest of the board, you know, I see Adam Fox hovering around 5-6-1. You know, that's fine, but it doesn't really get me that excited. I'm seeing Rasmus Dahlin, a guy that I really like, around 7-8-1. Player I love, but I just think winning the award, there's not a lot of value there. And you're almost getting twice the odds here with Miro Heiskanen, who I think has a more clear path to win this. I feel like he's got a good chance to lead the league in time on ice this year. Dallas is really going to lean heavy on him on the back end. They don't have a lot of depth on the blue line. So Heiskanen's going to play a ton, and ice time is something they would certainly look at for this award. And he's been unleashed on the power play now. John Klingberg used to be there and soak up some of those power play minutes from the defenseman aspect. And now you've got Miro Heiskanen in there, who has become more of an offensive player to go along with his defensive prowess. And we saw Dallas get exposed in the playoffs last year in a game where Miro Heiskanen got hurt. He went down, he left the game, and I think they gave up like four or five goals right away. It was just crazy. And you saw how important he is to this team. So I love Miro Heiskanen 14-1. Some great quotes out there from him this summer as well, saying he wants to go and win this award. So I'll bet on him to do so.
All right, let's go to your favorite division bet. I like the looks of this one. This is the Bruins to win the Atlantic.
Yeah, the Bruins, I'm going back to the well kind of on this one, guys. The Bruins were very good to me in this spot last year, and a lot of people were very down on them going into the season and asking questions, and I was able to find them at 7-1, close to 8-1 to win their division last year, and obviously they ran away with it. It felt like they had it clinched up, you know, three quarters of the way through the season. Not as big of a price now, but I think the demise of the Bruins is greatly exaggerated right now, guys. I know they lost Patrice Bergeron. He'll walk into the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best two-way players of this generation, and he's impossible to replace. There's just no replacing a player like that, but they still have one of the elite goal scorers. When we talk about the Rocket Richard, a guy that could win that, and David Pastrnak, I still love what Brad Marchand can do, and they're going to lean heavily on the blue line and the goal and their goaltending. I think that's where they're strongest. They're going to win a lot of lower-scoring hockey games. So I think it's between them and the Toronto Maple Leafs at the top of the board. And I feel like the odds should be much closer between the Bruins and the Leafs than what they are right now. So I'll take a little value on the Bruins at 4-1. And I think there might be a little bit of value in their Stanley Cup number here as well, guys.
Ooh, okay. By the way, at DraftKings right now, the Leafs plus 175 to win the Atlantic, the Bruins plus 350. How low would you go on the Bruins for that division?
I think 3-1 is probably where I would cut it off at the moment. And I would like to see a little bit of these teams, guys. I always say this with futures early in the year. You know, these markets take a little bit of time to adjust, and the number's not just going to go out of thin air after a couple of weeks. So if you want to get a look at these teams for a little bit, that's fine. You don't have to bet it before the season. So something to keep an eye on. And hey, maybe you even end up with a better number. Leafs get out to a hot start, mm-hmm. You know, Bruins kind of middling, whatever. Maybe it drops to 5-6-1. And you could jump in at a better number than what it is right now.
All right, you just mentioned that you do kind of like the Bruins to win the cup itself. Is that the play?
Right now, and again, that's another number that I kind of want to wait to see how it plays out early in the season. I'm seeing it around 16 to 1. You might be able to find some 18 to 1s out there. If I can catch an 18 to 1, something closer to 20, that's where I'm willing to pounce. So I'm not jumping on it just yet, guys, but it's one I have circled to keep an eye on early in the season to see if I can find the number that I want.
Do you think we see a hot start like we have? Remember last year, three teams got off to ridiculous starts in the NHL season. Do you think that was a one-year aberration thing, or you think we'll see that again this year from a few teams?
No, I do think we will. And I think the one thing is you're probably going to see it from a surprise team, right? Like a team that, you know, maybe didn't make the playoffs last year that just, you know, catches fire early in the season for whatever reason. Maybe it's a hot goaltender. Maybe it's a line that really clicks. The power play gets going. There's so many ways that a team can get hot in this league. So, you know, I'm looking at teams like Buffalo and Ottawa. I think a lot of people are looking at them to take a massive step this year and push for a playoff spot. Those are two teams I'm going to have a real close eye on the early part of the season, see if they can maybe get hot and, you know, jump up closer to the tops in their division.
Is that the answer to the question? We only have 20 seconds here, but I was going to ask, give me a random team name that could make some noise. Was that the answer to the question right there?
I liked Ottawa so much, and we get the Josh Norris news this past week about him being out and not ready for the season. So I have to pump the brakes on them just a little bit at the moment. I do think that Boston is your best value early in the season because a lot of people seem to be jumping off ship.
All right, Jay Kahn, co-host of The Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL at JayHahn4. Jay, great seeing you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great to see you guys. I enjoyed the start of the season and all the sports.
My man, Jay Kahn. Loves seeing Jake. You know it's hockey time when we see Jake.
Jake's the best.
Are you kidding me? NFL Power Rankings. Let's do that next. And a ketchup chip taste test from Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Hockey's back, poutine and ketchup chips.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. Too many to count that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on all this. This is from Brian M. He said, had these in France, roast chicken flavored chips. Hands down, best flavor ever. Roast chicken. Ooh. You like the sound of that? Roast chicken flavored chips?
Yeah, he sent a picture. That looks pretty tasty.
You're about to have ketchup chips, so I would hold your horses.
Really? Okay. All right. I have really mixed emotions about this, by the way.
Ryan Hyatt, you feel like you're anti-American with doing this a little bit?
No, not that. Like, I don't think I'm going to like them. But I also think, like, it's a potato chip. How could you not like it, you know?
Ryan Hyatt, quick thoughts on Costas. Is Radio First Style and old school radio style is now very much over-announcing for what we're used to on a TV broadcast. And this coming from someone who loves radio. They're also TV first guys who can't do radio. That's a good point on that. Trey McGee.
Yeah.
Seems like the format problem discussion is just that the Dodgers suck every year in the playoffs. What about the Astros? Been one of the best, if not the best team, last 6 years in the regular season. 6 ALCS championships in a row. 4 World Series. Good teams win no matter the format. Trey. That's absolutely a fair point. For me, it wasn't about the Dodgers. I love to see the Dodgers lose.
That was a hot, fair take.
but the Astros thing is, I mean, it does bring up another sort of cousin to what we were talking about, which is, so the Astros have been able to overcome that small sample size. Maybe it's random, maybe it's not. After a while, you got to think there might be something to it. It's about roster construction in baseball. So that's the other thing, the cousin to that conversation is, If the regular season is so disparate from what the playoffs are, and it always has been, right? We've always emphasized starting pitching for the playoffs and then having great relievers. That's how the Giants won 3 World Series. But you do have to then construct your roster in a way that is good enough to bridge that gap. It's sort of like when we talk about the Rockies can't ever win because the team you construct at Coors is different from the team you would construct outside of Coors. So it's almost impossible for them to do it. And there is something to that. Maybe Houston has cracked that code. Maybe they're good enough to bridge that.
So the only question I have with some of the pitching stuff is the bullpen's completely changed though once you get in the playoffs though too, right? Because you've got starters that you're bringing out of the pen.
That's correct.
Right. I'm just saying, like, it's another thing to factor, that you don't really deal with in the regular season.
That's
right.
Well, that's one way to do it. Or you can be just like the Giants, and the most players they had that won all three World Series were relievers. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that stayed with them all those years more than any. Eric Biggio from Will Hill, he says, yes, Paul Spohr, all for a Twins-Braves series. Need some more Kirby Puckett highlights in my life. Kenny G, Morningill, maybe could Kelly get some eggnog to help wash down the ketchup potato chips? Great show. Thank you. All right, you want to try the chip first before we do power rankings?
Sure. We got it. We did get a tweet about what was it? Southern Comfort. It was Southern Comfort non-alcoholic eggnog, which I still don't understand. Or is ketchup chips?
So here's the thing: you take us out of a studio.
This is like tasting wine.
We're not in a studio anymore, so Kelly gets to have a ketchup chip since we're. Here it is, Kelly Bill. It's very exciting. I think my mouth is watering watching you eat that.
It's very salty.
It's very salty.
It's extremely salty.
That's not a positive comment.
Pretty tasty.
Pretty tasty.
That's pretty tasty. I can get behind this. Okay. I can get behind this.
Does it meet your American palate? Like, why can't the good people at Lay's give us ketchup chips?
You know what I was concerned about? I was concerned about it tasting like a stale French fry or something that you dip in ketchup.
Yeah.
Really doesn't taste like that at all.
Well, you know, potato chip is kind of a stale French fry.
Kind of is. But it tastes closer to like a barbecue Lay's. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of got a similar flavor, just a little more barbecue.
I am fighting every fiber in my being not to open up that ketchup chip.
You got a big bag
to
take on.
I sure do. I surely do. Let's do some NFL power rankings.
Let's do it. And NFL I can finish chewing these rankings. Chips. Yeah.
Plug it in. Is that this one?
Plug that's what it is.
Plug it in. 107.7 The Bone. So... here again is where we get to NFL power rankings. And you may say to yourself, self, why do I care what Kelly Bidlin and Gil's power rankings are? Well, because again, it gives you some kind of basis for which to not overreact, I would say, to recency bias and what just happened in one game. Now, having said that, Kelly, I just want to point out that my new power rankings are about as subjective as ever because I'm applying different things to different teams, and I'm well aware of that.
There is, I'm just going to say this before we get into it. Yeah. There are two teams that we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
That we made proclamations that we were going to have at a certain spot in our power rankings this week that me and you both did not hold true to.
Yes. So that said.
That was all 24 hours ago.
All 24 hours. Then we actually had to do them. I'm like, wait a minute. All right. Number one for me is, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. If they're not your number one power ranked team, maybe you're not doing this right. I just want to point that out. Niners are number one, as they should be. Now, I said yesterday that the Eagles would go back to the front of the 3-6 thing.
Right, you did.
Guess what? I put them at 2. Just because if I'm...
And I pushed back on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, spoiler alert, I ended up going Chiefs 2 and Eagles 3.
I put them at 2 because I just feel like, if I'm really being honest with myself, they're the most solid besides the Niners. I do. I think it's them. And I listened to what Eric Eager had to say last week on the Megapod. Maybe, you know, he says maybe Jalen Hurts isn't as explosive as he once was. It looks pretty good to me. I got the Eagles at number 2. I actually dropped the Chiefs down. That should be a down arrow to 3. The Chiefs have not beaten anybody. This is the equivalent to my power rankings prior still holding in, where I actually hold it against another team.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay.
For not beating anyone. So like the Detroit Lions are still not in my top 10. Because they haven't beaten anybody, but they beat the Chiefs, right? And yet I've got the Chiefs at 3, and I don't have the Lions. I have the Lions at 11. So, yeah, I get it. I'm a little inconsistent there, and that has to do with priors. So
that's really fascinating to me, though, because that was – I basically did that reasoning for doing it the opposite. Went Chiefs 2, Eagles 3, because I actually took – I actually think the Chiefs have been a little bit more impressive with their schedule than the Eagles have been so far.
I don't know.
Win at Jacksonville is I think the win in Jacksonville is the best win between all those of all the wins between the two teams.
I would agree with that, I think. Although, you know, I don't know. Chiefs are 3 to me. I've got the Bills at 4. I did not hold the London game against them. Maybe I should have. But I just think they botched the whole travel. They were jet lagged. The problem with the Bills is that that's a very shaky four, and they've got injuries on defense that are season ending in terms of Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano. And I don't know if they'll be able to hold that. But right now, at this very moment, I've got them at four. I've got the Dolphins at five. I still feel like the Dolphins are bullies.
Yeah.
I think they're a team that's going to crush opponents that are not as good as them. And I think they're always going to have trouble with teams like the Bills. So they're at five. The Ravens went up and lost. The Ravens should be 5-0. They should be, but they're not. They're 3-2, but that still has them six in the power rankings. And that's, again, what I said at the top. This is why we do power rankings. I don't want to overreact too much on the Ravens. They're at six. Cowboys drop all the way to seven. And I know it was against the Niners, but this team is the same outfit every year. It's we got all the talent in the world, and somehow it's not going to come together because our coach isn't that great. And oh, by the way, Dak throws a mess of picks. There is your Dallas Cowboys assessment. Hey, we can just throw that into any year.
You nailed it. I mean, I was the guy who was higher on them again this year. I was drinking the Kool-Aid in the summer. You pushed back on that a little bit. Yep. And as we sit here through 5 weeks of the season, you're absolutely right. This is the same old Cowboys team, same old types of problems, it seems.
8, 9, 10 for me. All were on by Seahawks, Chargers, Browns. I don't move them.
Okay. All right.
You?
We have 9 of the same 10 teams, but I think that was the same case last week, and I think it's reasonable why we didn't change anything on the back end. So for me, 49ers, we talked about the 2-3 thing. So 49ers won. I'm with you. I don't even know. What are you making 49ers against the Chiefs or Eagles right now?
On a neutral?
Yeah.
I make them more than like 3.5 Chiefs.
I think I'm
three Eagles.
I think I'm same way. I think I'm right there with you. Yeah. So yeah, like, I think they're number one. I don't even think it's that close. I think at least probably 3 points, but separating between them and whoever you want to put to Chiefs or Eagles. And yes, they are very close together for me. Chiefs, Eagles, there. Bills. I dropped down. I had them at two, but I dropped them down. This is more. Glad you brought this up. I'm not trying to punish them for losing that game. It's more because of the injuries they've suffered, and if those guys are going to miss significant time. And I think you got to drop this Bills team down a notch. Dolphins up to five, but they're up to five because the Cowboys go down to six, and then Ravens stand pat at seven for me. Lions and Browns, I just switched around 8 and 9 there. Lions moved up. They are impressing me here. I know they're beating up on some bad teams, but Lions, Browns, and Chargers round it out. I like that we're standing firm with the Chargers at 10.
Well, it's like Dr. Bob said it too last week. Remember Dr. Bob? He was just like, look, they're just good. They are okay.
They have a talented roster.
He was so frustrated, but he goes, they're just good. I don't care what they do on the field. Well, eventually we're going to care.
Yeah. I mean, I was considering Seahawks there, Jags there, multiple teams. I left the Chargers. Left them.
Very similar. We'll come back. More baseball with Mark Borchard from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. It's a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book. The Numb Guys. Where the fella, what come from under a shroud of smoke? I got my days wrong. First of all, it's a cloud of smoke, Numb Guys, not a shroud of smoke. Although that works too.
Yeah,
he works. He also adds, wow, Gil, you really make me scratch my head, but the Lions not cracking your top 10? Shocking. At least put them in behind the Seahawks and ahead of the Chargers. Beat the Chiefs on the road, no less. Yeah, look, they're 11. You know, I didn't make them 32 or anything. And I just feel like they're on the cusp of it. But do I think they're as good as the Chargers and the Seahawks and the Browns right now? Notch below. But, you know, it's just a placeholder. Just a way for me to, like, you know, put guardrails on everything. Bruce Dobigan, our buddy Bruce. The Matt Milano season-ending injury is proof the Buffalo Bills cannot have nice things. Mike Stacks, have you or Kelly tried these Doritos? They were out 2 months ago, July and August, and can't be found anywhere. They're on eBay for $24 now for two bags. The taste is like that Chinese mustard. I love them. He's talking about Doritos hot mustard flavor. I have not had that,
but you don't want to go near the Cool Ranch Fire ones, whatever they call those. Oh, boy, you start digging into a bag of those, and that bag's going to be empty soon.
What was that thing that Stormy and Matt did, and Matt Brown had one chip, and he, like, died for a day?
Oh yeah, it was like that hot chip challenge or whatever. One of those.
By the way, people have died from that thing.
Yes, people have died from that. Yeah.
Completely irresponsible. Completely irresponsible. Sorry.
How dare you?
Retroactive punishment.
We are a 3-day countdown from the kick.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So this is happening
Friday after the show.
Should I bring a change of clothes? Is this going to be fun?
I'm bringing a chair, a cooler.
I'll bring my hoodie out there. Let's 12 go.
12-pack of beers.
Let's do it. Matt Brown kicking field goals. The challenge is finally here. And finally, Jesse Welch. Kelly, my wife and I have a gas station convenience store in New Hampshire, and I'm doing my weekly order now. Ketchup chips could be in my store next. He says tomorrow, based on this review.
Hot ticket item. Everybody's got a story.
All right, so you had more ketchup chips. What's the final verdict?
Very tasty, but I did tell you I would never take them over a bag of barbecue Lay's chips.
Wow. Doug in Toronto. Listen, you gave us a gift, and he still likes
barbecue.
They're
great. They're delicious. I'm just saying.
Thank you, Doug in Toronto. I love ketchup chips, and I love Toronto, and I love Canada. By the way, if you're from other parts of the country, we'll accept food as well. Like, if you're from Germany and you want to, like, bring in Wiener Schnitzel or something, we'll happily eat that
other
as well.
Parts of the world? Yeah, I'm with you. Whatever you want to send.
Marcus, our buddy in Spain, gazpacho on the air, we'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, he is from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. We love talking to him at BaseWinner, basewinner.com, and all things BaseWinner. It's Mark Borchardt. How you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, there's a possibility the Phillies might be playing the Diamondbacks and the NLCS, so I'm keeping an eye on that. I'm gonna go to those games if that happens. So
why specifically
the exciting?
Why specifically the Phillies and not the Braves? Do you bring it up? Could be the Braves too, right?
But no, it could be the Braves because I'd like both teams. I mean, my family, my in-laws, and my wife's from Philly, and I've kind of adopted that team. And I'm really happy with this. I'm really happy with this Diamondback team. Yeah, I wasn't happy with my bet last night. I had the Dodgers as back end of the parlay, but I'm happy for the organization. That's really good to see, and it just goes to show you that even the best of teams can be beaten postseason, Gil. You talk about an anti-hero last night. Freddie Freeman just couldn't get it done.
And, you know,
I mean, that's just variance. Doesn't mean the guy's a bad player. He just couldn't get it done at that particular time. So unfortunate for Dodger bettors.
Couple follow-up questions. One, real quick, give me 30 seconds because we've talked about this ad nauseum today this morning. Do you have a problem with the way the format is after a 162-game schedule, best of three, best of five?
I'd like to see him longer, but that's pie in the sky. They'd have to shorten the season down I'd like to see a longer duration. As far as this layoff goes, I think it's all a bunch of BS.
Yeah, I don't think the layoff argument holds water. That bothers
Check
me.
Check this out, y'all. Yeah. So I wanted to see from an offensive standpoint because I think there's some at least a hypothesis there with seeing live pitching, and you go 4 days or 5 days without seeing live pitching. But I did the last 3 years, the first three games of the All-Star, back from the All-Star break, and so I could get a better sample. And for all the teams, so teams are off during the All-Star break for 4 days, and so they don't see live pitching for 4 days, and they actually hit better. Yeah. 107 weighted runs created plus over those 3 years and those 3 days. So yeah. I don't think there's anything there.
Yeah, that doesn't hold water to me. I think it's more about the fact that it's the most random sport just inherently, and so if you play 162 games, then you make it more random by minimizing the series. It doesn't have anything to do with the rest versus rust thing. The other thing you brought up there is about the Diamondbacks and how proud you are of them. Every baseball season has ebbs and flows. After all, it is 162 games. Do you find this one? Because there was a moment in, I don't know if it was early September or late August, where we're like, oh my God, the Diamondbacks are just terrible right now. The Rangers were the most schizophrenic, right? Bruce Bochy says, this is the most up and down roller coaster season I've ever been a part of. And he's been managing since the dawn of time, it seems. Did you find that it was more like this with teams this year? Or is that just prisoner of the moment stuff as well?
It's certainly happening in this playoffs thing. I don't know. I think there's variance, but there's also some components. Like if you got a team that's heavy on power, yeah, there's going to be more variance in there. Because the home run doesn't happen as much as a single, right? So you would have, I would think that you would expect more variance with a power team and less with a team like the Diamondbacks, who kind of manufacture runs. At least to the eye, they do, Gil.
All right, let's do some rapid fire. Dodgers are down 2-0, best of five. They have to sweep three now. Would you bet the Dodgers at plus 450, or would you want no part of that whatsoever?
I would not bet the Dodgers. The pitching's just too. You got to get a good start from a starter. Is Lance Lynn going to do it? No, Kershaw's just. I mean, obviously, but even before the playoffs, he wasn't pitching very good. So there's something wrong with him. You really got to get a good start of one of those three games. You got to have just an outstanding start. Maybe Lynn can do it. I doubt it. But I don't. I think the D-backs are in the catbird seat, Gil.
Okay. Is there a series price right now in the Phillies Braves series? Braves are -135. The Phillies are +115.
Yeah, Gil, I like the Braves just for, I mean, okay, Gil, you know, how long have they been playing baseball? 100 years. How long have we been handicapping it? 45 years?
100 years, yeah.
Yeah, so the Braves have, this is so amazing. I still can't believe this. They've got the best slugging percentage as a team in the history of baseball. I'm not going to bet against that, you know, and I just can't.
And there was a moment yesterday after five innings where we're like, oh my God, they got shut out for the first time at home all year and they might be shut out again. Like that was the smoking gun of the four. Right? If that had lasted, which it didn't, obviously, dramatic comeback from the Braves with a dramatic.
Gil, they were getting no hit yesterday. I mean,
yes.
Wheeler
yes.
had it going and. The key to that game, in my opinion, was just being able to scrape that one run. So, okay, the guy's human.
That gift and run. Kinda, yeah.
And then somehow Darnell got a hold of one, and then they're right back in it. So, okay. off a decent bullpen. So, it'll be, that series is compelling, that's for sure. That was a great game yesterday, especially if you had the Braves.
Have you looked ahead to game three in that series with the series knotted up at one apiece? Have you thought about that game
tomorrow?
I haven't
priced it yet. Okay. No, I don't. I mean, I have somewhere. I don't have it in front of me, though.
Well,
so,
let's do today. Days games then, starting with the series knotted up at one apiece between the Twins and the Astros. It's Sonny Gray. It's Christian Javier. The Twins are -130 favorites. Where is Mark Borchardt going?
This is a really tough game for me to predict. If I had to play it, I would play the Astros. I've got it priced on the model at -117. It's right in the market. Javier has been so up and down, but he's looking pretty good over his last 150 plate appearances. He's got a 29.3 strikeout percentage. That's in the 85th percentile. And people are gushing over Sonny Gray. I don't see it over the last 150 plate appearances. Strikeout percentages, 21.3 in the 43rd percentile. Having said that, he's got good stuff. Plus last 30 days, 94 percentile there, but Javier's in the 77th percentile. I think for me, I would go with Houston, although I'm not going to suggest anybody play this particular game tonight.
But I like your dampening of the Sonny Gray thing, because I have Houston getting to the World Series. So I hope that manifests your thoughts there. And then, of course, the Rangers looking to sweep the Orioles tonight. Back in Arlington, it is Nathan Eovaldi and Dean Kramer. Nathan Eovaldi and the Rangers -135. I sense you have a play on this one.
I do. I'm going to go with Texas over the team total of 4.5 -120. I've got it modeled at 5.3 runs. But this is an interesting number, Gil. I just told you that the Braves are the best slugging percentage in the history of baseball. But from a base runs created, it's something I do at Base Winner. I do base runs. Amazing. But base runs at home, Texas, 5.53 base runs this year at home. And compare that with their away base runs is 4.58. So there's a big difference there. And then you've got Kramer, who I think is kind of league average. And then this bullpen for Baltimore has some problems. You look at balls divided by pitches, 46%. Expected walk rate in the playoffs, 15.3. Expected ERA in the playoffs, 6.53. So between all that stuff, I think that the over team total is a good play there, Gil.
Thank you, Mark. Enjoy the games, my man.
My pleasure. You too.
Mark Borchardt at Base Winner. We'll come back. College football with Pete Futek on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/picks. /subscribe. Skill Alexander is Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Let's talk a little college football with guessing lines in the NFL yesterday and all the baseball going on. We haven't really had a chance to talk about college football, besides a few minutes on Mario Cristobal yesterday. It's Pete Futak, the publisher of collegefootballnews.com. How you doing, Peter?
You know how screwed up I am is as soon as that happened, my instant thought went to Gil Alexander.
I love it.
And how like, oh, there has to be something weird here for the coaching staff. But outside of the money line, there really wasn't any betting implications of that. It was just a screwed up job by the coaching staff.
Yeah, the betting was outside of the money line, but outside of the real life also. I mean, you turn a win into a loss, obviously, which is just, it was like the biggest coaching malpractice we've ever seen. But let's since Cristobal is too obvious, and by the way, he finally took full responsibility for it yesterday, did Mario Cristobal. Not a lot that does money line bettors or Miami fans or anything. But let's just talk about Steve Sarkisian for a second. So it's a tie ball game against Oklahoma in a Red River rivalry game. Sorry about that.
I can't do it either.
That was every bit as awesome as one would have hoped it would be. And Texas has the ball. First down at the 434 mark. Next play run at the 423 mark. First down at 418. Next play runs at 404. They get 9 yards. So both times right there. They had 28 seconds left on the play clock. Then they do a running play at 342 with 27 seconds left on the play clock. First down. Then they run a running play at 316 with 22 seconds left on the play clock. Then they run the next play at 254 with 24 seconds left on the play clock. First down with 247 left. Injury, which stops the clock. Then they run a play at 234. You were sacked. Run the next play with 201 left and 12 seconds left on the play clock. 155 left, and then the timeouts came. And they end up kicking a field goal, but they left Dylan Gabriel 117 left on the clock. Five plays later, Oklahoma wins. You get the idea. And I guess my question distilled to one simple sentence, Pete, is, why are college football coaches so dumb? Why?
The only excuse I will give to that is if it's in the rhythm of your offense. I get the play clock thing, but that is a team that does operate relatively fast. In the NFL, it's a kind of different animal because they're professionals. These guys know what they're doing. And even at the high level of college, you do have a little thing where they're still kids in a big situation. And you want them to kind of stay in whatever groove you've had all game long. So I'm with you. They should have done a better job on that. And they should have, at the end of the day, they should have come up with one defensive stop. But I'm with you. They should have been better on that, especially that team with yours. But I do kind of get in college why you would do that, just to make sure to try to maybe push that drive to keeping the drive going and go for the touchdown maybe. And in that game, things were breaking wide open for them. So you're right. But in that game, when it's going up and down.
Yeah, we won't even get it, Jimbo Fisher, because we don't have enough time. I want to get your thoughts on this week in college football. But it's just unbelievable watching this stuff, Pete. So let's talk about a couple of the three undefeateds remaining in the Pac-12 who take on each other this week. Oregon 5-0 at Washington 5-0. Teams that have just been having themselves a go of it here this season. Michael Penix having a phenomenal year for Washington. UW a 3-point favorite afternoon game, 12:30 Pacific in Washington. What do you like?
I said earlier with you that I'm liking the Pac-12 home teams this year, just because in games you have shootouts like this where you do have so much offense and so many reps and everything, that I tend to like how the home teams are playing out. And this, I just sort of think Oregon is a little bit better. Washington's been sort of tested. They didn't struggle against Arizona, but they got a push when they went down to Tucson. And that offense goes 1,000 miles an hour. The difference being in this is that on the other side, Bo Nix is probably the better pro prospect quarterback. Oregon knows how to go just as fast when it needs to. And it has the secondary and the defense that can hold up to this. They do have the talent and the skill at the quarter spots that other teams that Washington's faced so far don't have. So I do think that Oregon just has that sort of talent. It's going to come down to whether or not the style of offense Washington plays kind of lends itself to getting the ball out of Penix's hands in a hurry.
So if they don't lead the nation in fewest sacks allowed, they're close. I think Oregon's got to get that pass rush going a little bit. And I just have it in my head what Oregon did to Shedeur Sanders in that Colorado offense. They're not going to do that to Washington, but I do think they'll do enough just to slow it down. So a long-winded way of saying I'm going Oregon at this, but slightly sheepishly.
You think Bo Nix is a better pro prospect than Michael Penix?
No, I don't, but I like Penix. The big question with Penix is, can he stay healthy? It gets forgotten that he had three knee injuries. Actually, two knee injuries, I think a shoulder, and something else that happened to him in Indiana. In terms of a pure pro passer, and I like Penix better. Okay. I do think the Nix is going to get drafted earlier.
Just making sure, because I don't know. I didn't want to let that slide. Let me maybe the most traditional, the best non-conference traditional college football rivalry through the decades, back in the day anyway, was USC and Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets upset by Louisville. USC, and I don't know how many people were up for this on the East Coast or even in the Central Time Zone where you are, but they get away with a win over Arizona where they survived. They survived a 50-yard Arizona field goal, and then even more significantly, a missed 25-yarder of their own in regulation.
Which was as ugly as you can for a program like USC.
Yeah.
Everything about that sequence was about as ugly as it gets.
Yeah, because Caleb Williams had dropped the ball on the turf as well, and so anyway, they win in three overtimes. When you go to two-point conversions, they win by two. Notre Dame is a 2.5-point favorite in South Bend against USC. What do you like here?
Really quick, I'll throw another kind of coaching thing that drives me absolutely up a wall. And late in that game, USC scores to go up seven. That's where you go for two because it's a relatively free shot to go up two scores.
Right.
And they didn't do it, kick the extra point, and then Arizona roared down fast, touchdown, and two tie game. And that's just one of those areas that coaches keep whiffing on that as well. I'm still waiting for you. I think USC is just one of those fishbowl type teams that just sort of plays as high or low as the moment. The problem is they haven't had a great pure performance against a decent team so far. They haven't played anybody great. That kind of includes Colorado. And you always have to budget in the 16-minute nap that USC takes every single game. It just so happened to be at the beginning of Arizona. It happened at the end of Colorado. This team just goes through funky lulls. So, yeah, I'm going Notre Dame at home. Sam Hartman is going to pick apart that secondary. USC's not quite taking the ball away like they did last year. The defense is better. So just because it's at home, and the lines are better on, this is by far the best lines that USC is going to play all year. I do think that Notre Dame is going to bash a whole lot better than they did against Louisville. I hate going against Caleb Williams in USC, but I'm still spooked by that Arizona game and the end of Colorado. I'm going Notre Dame.
Going Notre Dame. Why did I expect that? What's your favorite bet of the entire weekend in college football?
All right, I am going to. This is again kind of floopy. Last week, I kind of got ripped by some of your peeps about picking Oklahoma on the just because this is how this rivalry works kind of thing.
My peeps would never rip you, Futak. Never.
Go ahead. Hey, I got it right. So yeah, I kind of think what I liked, the one thing I did like about that Miami ending is just how hard those kids took the loss, even though the elbow was down. It was a bad call. It was a bad situation. The secondary missed. The team played like garbage all game long. I'm blaming it on the horrible uniforms. That's a better team than that. That was also a jacked Georgia Tech team that made a change at defensive coordinator, and they played like it. I think this Miami team's a whole lot better, and it comes roaring back, and it plays a great game against the North Carolina team that beat South Carolina, but hasn't really dealt. They've played a lot of nice name teams, but hasn't really had to put up anything big yet. They've been great all year. They stopped Minnesota's passing game. They shut down Syracuse Colts. Miami's a different animal. I just kind of like the way that attitude was at the end of that game, that Miami took it so hard. And so this goes one of two ways. Either they turtle and go in the tank, or they just come out and just pound away at North Carolina. I'm kind of going with the latter here.
All right, Pete, appreciate it as always. Pete Futak at Pete Futak, FIUTAK. Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Pete Futak at collegefootballnews.com. You spend any time on collegefootballnews.com?
I've been there.
So much college football information. The man is a treasure trove of information on that website.
He was right. He was right last week. Nobody was going Ogle.
He was right. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.